Stephen Colbert here to tell you about the Late Show Pod Show, which is our podcast for the Late Show with my producer, Becca. Becca, how long have you been producing this podcast?
I've been producing this podcast for 2 years now.
And your favorite thing about it?
The extended moments, for sure.
Right, because sometimes I'll interview like a big star for 25 minutes, and we can only put like 14 minutes on air. Where can people get that?
On the Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert, wherever you get your podcasts.
And who produces that?
I help out. It's a team effort.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Drag dates all the way back to the world's most ancient civilizations. I'm talking the Incas, the Aztecs, the Egyptians. Basically, anyone that could build a pyramid also had a fierce walk. I mean, why do you think every man, woman, and eagle in ancient Egyptian art had a smoky eye? Now, drag was originally done in these ancient civilizations for tribal and religious ceremonies. It's pretty much how priests got started wearing muumuus. It wasn't until modern times that drag played a role in entertainment. And not just any entertainment. I'm talking about the bad bitch bard himself, Shakespeare. Back in this time, men dressed in drag to play women's roles. Although that was really less about drag and more about keeping women out of acting. Methinks that doth be some bullshit, Horatio. So for a long time, the stage was pretty much the only place drag was acceptable. It wasn't until the 18th century in England that drag performers started to express themselves outside the theater. They met at private residences where they could safely dress as their female alter egos, and those places became known as Molly Houses. And it was at these Molly Houses where the first prominent drag queen was born, Princess Serafina. She was the first drag queen to take her drag out of the privacy of the Molly Houses and into public events like masquerade balls. And it was a big deal, and incredibly brave, because it meant volunteering to deal with catcalling. Now, while 18th century England gave us drag queens, 19th century America gave us drag balls. It's the only time queens colonized the country and made it better. One of the most famous drag performers at that time was a former enslaved African named William Dorsey, the Queen Swan. Dorsey slayed so hard, he went on to become a pioneer of modern ballroom culture. Now, there are no existing photos of the queen herself, because how dare you? She was too glamorous to have her image captured by you peasants? No! But for reference, historians believe her look was probably something like this. Now, that is fashion! Come through, Bridgerton! America's drag balls brought the culture to the next level. In Harlem, they became so popular that men and women would come from all over to present their looks to a panel of judges, pageant style. And you know, there's something comforting in knowing that even hundreds of years ago, people were telling someone to their face that they were a messy bitch whose outfit is trash. Ah, the circle of life. In the early 1900s, one of the top drag performers was William Dalton, or better known by his drag name, Julian Eltich. Damn, look at those outfits. They can play both leads in Casablanca. Just look how good her makeup is. And that was before Wet n Wild. She pulled that off with house paint and beet juice. Julian was able to take her drag mainstream by performing on Broadway and even in front of King Edward VII. I mean, of course he liked it. That dude could rock a cape. In fact, the king was so impressed, he gifted Julian with a bulldog, which personally, I don't think is a great prize. I prefer trophies that don't need to shit 3 times a day. Drag balls then exploded throughout the 1920s and 30s. But like with most things, popularity brings out the haters. Mainstream actors started linking them to homosexuality, and soon masquerade laws were passed, prohibiting cross-dressing in public. And you know what that meant? That's right, the Harry Styles World Tour was canceled! Due to these laws, drag went underground again. And it wasn't until the late 80s that it returned to the mainstream. But when it came back, oh, it came back in a big way. Drag performers were featured in major motion pictures, including one of the best-known sisters of the silver screen, Divine, who starred in the movie Hairspray and was the inspiration for the Disney character Ursula. Damn! Curvy, incredible singing voice, and impeccable taste? Are you sure we're not talking about me? Thanks to all these brave drag performers, today we have hit shows featuring drag queens, and we have a good reason to eat a meal as beautiful as brunch. So to all the outraged conservatives trying to drag through the mud, open a history book. Now, I know you hate those, but now they have pictures.
Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount+.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Stephen Colbert here to tell you about the Late Show Pod Show, which is our podcast for the Late Show with my producer, Becca. Becca, how long have you been producing this podcast?
I've been producing this podcast for 2 years now.
And your favorite thing about it?
The extended moments, for sure.
Right, because sometimes I'll interview like a big star for 25 minutes, and we can only put like 14 minutes on air. Where can people get that?
On the Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert, wherever you get your podcasts.
And who produces that?
I help out. It's a team effort.